B-Pod Studios.
Into this game, gave us some fits up front with some of their fronts, and it's a good defense. So credit them a little bit, just some things we could take away and work on and get better this week.
How about this? An update on Deshaun Jackson, Mike Kovac.
Yeah, Deshaun, he's still rehabbing. Obviously, he's working. I just met with the medical team, and he's going to do a little more. We're going to push him a little bit more this week to do some more, running and things like that. And we'll see. He's getting close, day by day. And we'll see here, tomorrow and Wednesday and the next day where he's at.
As a head coach, is there when you have a sort of a blowout with that? Is there a part of you that's sort of happy that there are things that there can sort of hammer on the guys that you can do these things better?
Yeah, there are, and that's the thing is, it's never as good as you think and never as bad as you think, but to be able to score twice on defense and then what we did offensively, you can still take away and play better. Especially on offense, and so that's something that wins and losses. I mean, wins we say can cover up a lot of flaws, but if we continue, to make the errors or the assignment errors that we did on offense, obviously as we go, we're not going to win those games, but definitely a lot to take away and work on moving forward.
When you brought in Deshaun, you talked about how that was kind of an element that had been missing from the offense. How much are you missing that right now?
You miss his explosiveness, obviously. The threat to, stretch a defense, his ability to get open. You miss him. And yet, at the same time, though, we can't make excuses for it. We gotta help him get healthy and get back on the field and then play with the guys we have. We're still, Alshon's been doing a great job. Nelly's been doing a great job. Our two tight ends have been solid. The run game's picked up. So we just got to make that work as well.
In regards to Deshaun's abdomen injury, is it a case of whether he needs to have surgery or not? Is it a sports hernia that potentially he needs?
No, nothing like that. No, just rehab.
So
just his normal rehab.
So what kind of injury is it? Just a strain. Okay.
As far as I know, that you might want to ask our doctors, but I'm not I'm going to wear a stethoscope in here and a lab coat. We're talking about him running this week and getting back out on the field.
What's Sidney's status? Do you anticipate him being able to?
Who's that?
Sidney Jones. Do you anticipate him being able to actually get on the field and play Sunday?
Yeah, I anticipate that. We should integrate him more into practice this week. See, he missed last week, so as far as practice reps go. So we should get him into practice this week and then expect him next Sunday.
How's Darren's role when he misses time? What's the partner
security? Darren's is a little more week to week with his strain. We'll work Nelly and Corey back there.
Corey obviously had a mishap yesterday, struggled last year in that role. Are you confident he can be your
partner? I am confident. And the reason, we just got to get him reps this week. He hasn't, he's missed some time, obviously, but he hasn't done enough of it in practice because he's been working special teams in other areas. So we got to get him some reps, obviously, this week, whether we do it live off of Cam's foot or Jug's machine. Nelly obviously can do it, I'm confident in him.
Doug, what did the tape tell you about Carson playing?
Carson played good. He did the things that we asked him to do in this football game. There were a few times where I would like to have seen the ball maybe come out just a touch sooner. But I thought overall he played well. Some things we can clean up with him as well. Tomorrow when the guys come back in. But overall, I thought he played good.
You guys have had to play a lot of quarterbacks the last few years. Corey has done, getting
this guy ready. Yeah, it's a credit to Corey and getting these guys prepared and guys that we just really bring in week one. They're not on your practice squad or whatever. But yeah, he's done a great job preparing these guys, and that's part of our jobs as coaches is you're coaching everybody, and he's done a good job doing that.
Doug, Derek Barnett has three personal fouls in 5 games this season. You or Jim have talked to him about that? Have you spoken to him? Does he risk becoming a guy with a reputation?
Well, he and I, we Derek and I have talked. We talked during the week. We talked during the game yesterday about it. It's an emotional game, and sometimes things escalate during the game. Having been out there and being around those guys, obviously you don't want to be. I don't think labeled as one of those type of athletes. But he's aggressive. He plays hard. He plays to the whistle. Not going to take that away from him, obviously. But we just got to be smarter, and it starts with me being, communicating that with the team and being a more disciplined football team that way.
What happened on the penalty that he had on Sunday?
On the interception return?
Yeah.
What I saw on the coach's tape is just that he was in front of the offensive lineman, and they collided, and then he went low on the offensive lineman, and it was away from – he didn't need to do it. It was away from the play. We talked about that as soon as he came off the field. He understood that, but it was just a mistake that he didn't need to make.
So are you concerned about Nelly at all? It seems like he's his pressing. He just doesn't seem like he's been – the Nelly we've seen the last couple of years.
No, I'm not concerned with him. We've asked him to do a lot of things, be in kind of multiple roles, and he's handled it well. We had some opportunity yesterday. We just missed, on a couple of shots down the field yesterday. But no, I'm not concerned with him. And as far as the pressing goes, I don't see that, with him. We got a lot of confidence in him, and we're going to continue to, integrate him into the game plan each week.
You had Randy Graham rushing from the inside again yesterday. You did that a few years ago. Is that how you want to have this going forward?
He is productive in there. He's quick in there. Ultimately, I think if you had another tackle, we're missing Tim and Malik, obviously, but if there was another tackle in there, you can keep him on the outside. But it's a good rotation, good mix of moving BG inside. He is productive in there, and so we'll keep him coming there.
Doug, you talked about how tough the Jets defense is from us, but your offensive line took a lot of penalties, it seemed like. After such a dominant game in Green Bay, were you disappointed in that at all?
Well, you're obviously, disappointed in penalties. You don't want to see that. Again, good front, very strong, very quick off the ball. This was a little more of a penetrating style defensive front than Green Bay. We'll send these clips in like we do every Monday on some of the holds that were called. But to us as coaches, it didn't appear like it was. But we'll coach it up tomorrow when they come in.
Doug, there's a pretty good disparity between Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders in terms of the yards per carry. What is your thinking behind pretty much an even distribution of carries between the two?
Yeah, I think obviously, I think as we move forward, we still got a lot of season left. I think Jordan has kind of. First of all, it's a good mix of guys. It's a good mix with those two guys. You're seeing Miles, in the passing game be a little more explosive with some of the down the field throws with him, and with Jordan, he's kind of the guy that you kind of settle down in the run game and give him those touches. He's a between the tackles guy. He's big and powerful. Got good vision, and I really think Miles is learning from Jordan. Running the ball, which is a positive, and so I think as we go, Jordan has been kind of the lead, back, the last couple of games, for sure, but Miles is learning and coming and really happy with both of them.
Doug, there's been no shortage of complaints about the amount of flags that are being for not just your games, but a
rep
game.
League-wide.
Tom Brady turned off, so he turned off the TV during one of the broadcasts because there were too many. Do you feel like the NFL's been overzealous when it comes to these penalties, particularly holding calls?
Well, I know this. It is tough for the officials. It's the game's high speed. It's fast. It's aggressive. They're having to look at a lot, and so from that standpoint, things get missed. Things get called that you know, as coaches, we probably don't think, or as players, we don't think should be called. I mean, it's tough, and. You know, we've got to clean up what we can clean up. We control what we can control. And, you know, we talk to our team every week about penalties, and not only penalties that we've committed, but, you know, we show them clips league-wide of things so that we're prepared. And we have to do a better job, you know, preparing our players to not make these fouls in-game.
No, just to clarify, are you saying that you would expect Jordan to get a higher percentage of carries moving forward?
I think moving forward, it's kind of going that way. But, again, you know, I can't sit here and tell you if Miles has a hot hand one day that he gets more touches. But right now, that's kind of the trend.
Carson went through one pass deep yesterday. Is that just a function of the way that the Jets are playing?
I think he had two. Both to Nelly.
The second one?
Mm-hmm. There was one up the sideline. And then the one down the middle of the field. So, good observation. One of them was a third and a mile. And opportunity to take a shot, because normally they play the sticks. They kind of level. So, Nelly actually ran past the defender on that one. The other one was a called double move to Nelly. Both in the game plan, you know, shots to him. So it was a great opportunity to do that, and just missed on both of them.
If you think back to April when the schedule came out, what was your reaction when you saw
three
consecutive road games?
I was excited.
You were.
Yeah, get on the road, three great hotels, you know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is, honestly. I mean, we don't get a chance to make the schedule. We know who our opponents are. We just don't know when and where we play them.
Are you doing anything different?
Did I answer that question? The follow-up's a good one? All right.
Yeah, will you do anything different these next 3 weeks in terms of preparation?
No, because, I mean, they're all, you know, I mean, these next two are obviously with Minnesota, Dallas. They're central time zone games. And Sunday night, I think, Dallas, so I won't do anything different.
Two more questions. Were you ever told an official reason behind the three road games in a row in the league? The league ever enough?
Your turn. No, I mean, it's fine. It is what it is.
What did you make of Minnesota's game yesterday against the Giants? Did you get a chance to?
I looked at it this morning. Very impressed with Minnesota's defensive line. Obviously, they got off the ball extremely fast. They put pressure on Daniel Jones a little bit. I felt, too, that the Giants' offense missed a couple things, you know, in the game. But overall, Minnesota, they came out, both sides came out very aggressive, as we know. And, you know, Dalvin Cook can be very explosive. But defensively, they came out with an aggression. They were on a mission yesterday, obviously, with some of the things that have been going on there. So it was a really, really good win for them.
Yeah. All right, there he is. Doug Peterson had a chance to see the Minnesota Giant game already.
Yeah, actually, there's a couple things I want to get to, including something that everybody should be happy about.
All right, stay tuned.
Kind of set out in neon, Timmy. So
okay.
We'll do that.
Doug's day after press conference brought to you by Corpolis Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. It is the Midday Show. That's Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez. We're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. We don't have to wait months for the most wonderful time of the year. It's the year. It's happening right now around us. Football, college football, baseball playoffs are here. Hockey's here. Basketball around the corner. It doesn't get any better. Only with DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. This week, there's plenty of great, great games. Two of the best college teams in the country face off. Florida, LSU. I love LSU in that game. LSU is really good. Really, really good. And, of course, we got a big one in Minnesota. You can bet on the games while they're happening as well. Head to DraftKings.com/Fanatic right now. For a limited time, all new users and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500 plus new users who sign up at DraftKings.com/Fanatic will get a risk-free bet up to $200. Don't forget, that's DraftKings.com/Fanatic for all new and existing users to claim your special offer. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, make it rain. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times play for restrictions apply. See site for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Gatto and Mertitus Middays.
All right, 12:22 on a midday show. I thought it was fascinating. Doug said Jordan Howard gets the bulk of the carries from here on out.
Yeah, that was
that's a big deal,
that.
Man.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he pronounced that.
That's a big deal. I mean, look, you know, I think it's the right move. I think it's smart on his behalf. I mean, he still has a lot to learn about how to run the football in the NFL. 9 for 15 yesterday for Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that he's going to go with Jordan Howard.
Well, Sanders' first carry yesterday was a run to the right, and he just kept on running toward the sideline, and he never cut up field.
It was funny. My cousin brought up this name, and he was so right. He goes, do you remember the name Bryce Brown? Had these, like, he had a couple big games. He used to bounce everything to the right.
Mm-hmm.
He just would run wide, always to the right. He had some jets. And he would just bounce everything out all the time. And Sanders reminds you that, always trying to bounce it out.
Yeah, and you just can't get away with that in the NFL. Linebackers, and they can get down the line. They'll just string you out. You're never going to gain positive yards. You know, the stupid, you go plant your foot in the ground. You know, you got to turn it upfield. But it's true. And you're right, Andy, he does that a lot. But yeah, that stuck out to me, too. It's funny that you bring that up, because I was like, as soon as he said it, I go, oh. Really?
To me, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Other thing that he said, the DeSean Jackson, no surgery. Now, again, I don't know if that's posturing because you don't want that out there. But he said he's running. He's trying to get him close. It sounded, if you just read and listen to him and kind of hear his tone, it sounds like he's still a week away.
Yeah. And he said they're going to push him a little harder this week. So yeah, you're right. I agree. It doesn't sound like he's going to be ready.
That's
to go
what
this
it sounded
week.
Like.
Yeah.
He also touched on Sidney Jones. He said he should play. He didn't sound overjoyed by that.
Yeah.
He said that Carson played good. He said there were a couple things that he could have worked on. He said he wishes the ball came out sooner.
There was a couple of occasions where I would definitely agree with that.
Which I also think is interesting. And you wonder, you know, is there a trust issue with the receivers? He was asked about Aguilar and pressing, and what's he going to say? He can't say anything but, oh, no, he's great. No, Nelly's fine. We give him some extra stuff to do, and he has to just shovel confidence on Aguilar.
Yeah.
Because you know how fragile he is.
Yeah, we saw that a couple of years ago when he had to go away for a couple of weeks. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. A couple open lines if you want to grab them. Let's go to, I hope I'm saying it right, Sadiq in Woodbury is on the Fanatic. Sadiq, how you doing today?
How you doing, man? Thanks for answering my call. First time calling.
Sadiq, welcome, man.
Thank you. So I just had a couple things I want to get off my chest and see if you guys can answer this for me. So what are you guys more concerned about, the offense or the defense?
That's a great question. See, I'm concerned about little things, right, on each. So I love the offense, except I'm concerned about the receiver play. So I still think they need another receiver. Unless DeSean is healthy and come back, I worry about him. And so I think the receivers behind Alshon just aren't good enough. And then when it comes to the defense, I worry about the cornerbacks. And health and whether or not Sidney Jones can really play.
Right. Okay. I was going to say, well, I'm not concerned about the offense more than I'm concerned about the defense. I know the offense is going to come together once Deshaun comes back. Also, I just would like to see the Eagles more, you know, put Dallas Goedert on the field at the same time as Zach Ertz. I don't know why they don't do that, you know, especially since we don't have that great of receivers yet. And also,
I will say this off your point, because it's a great point, Sadiq. They call that 12 personnel when you have two tight ends on the field. And I think Doug, on purpose, did not use it yesterday because he didn't have to. And you don't need to put more of that on tape. So I think it was purposeful that he didn't go a lot of 12 personnel yesterday.
And I was going to mention something else. I'm not really concerned about the defense either. I think our defense is not terrible, but okay. And I think, you know, during big games, they always find some ways to step up to make it, you know, make it seem like they can play better than what they are and, you know, become a good defense. I think we have the best safety tandem out there. I don't think nobody's better than Jenkins and McLeod. Like, I think we have the best, you know, safeties. Also, our D-line is pretty good as well. We are leading the league.
Coming off of yesterday, Sadiq, I could see why you might feel that way. But if you look at this season in total, I can't agree with you.
You don't think Malcolm Jenkins and McLeod are the best?
I like Malcolm Jenkins a lot. I think McLeod is about as average as it gets. I thought he had some nice plays yesterday, but...
Well, I'm liking what I'm seeing from him. I think he's playing...
Yeah, he's against the Jets.
He's stepping up his game.
He looked good against the Jets.
Yeah.
It was the Jets and Luke Falk. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get carried away here.
And what do you guys think about the D-line? I just want to say about the D-line that...
I think they're still thin, too. I think that against the Jets yesterday, they did a nice job.
One more thing. I think sometimes people just get caught up with the sack. They love the sack stat. But we are getting pressures, and we're making quarterbacks throw interceptions, run out the pocket, you know, throw the ball away.
Well, I'll give you this, Sadiq. They moved Aaron Rodgers. I was just talking about this with Tyrone. They moved Aaron Rodgers off the spot. You know, they put more pressure on Aaron Rodgers than Dallas did yesterday.
Right. So sometimes I think we just get caught up with that sack stat. And sometimes it's not always about the sack. Getting the pressure is just good as the sack. And we were actually number one in the league as far as the pressure. And I like to actually take the pressure better than a sack, because when we get a sack, we get 3rd and 15 or, you know, a 3rd and 20.
Yeah, I still want the sack, bro.
You want the, I think you, I want, appreciate the, you it. Want the hit, you want the sack. I mean,
you got to get the sack. But to your point, Sadiq, and a good call, and make sure you call again, is that they did, if you compare what happened with them against Rodgers to Dallas, they got more push, particularly up in the middle against Rodgers. You know, Schwartz called a good game. There were some good blitzing schemes there. But again, and that's with a terrible, I mean, beleaguered, I should say, back end with your secondary.
Now, you watched the Cowboy-Packer game yesterday. Does it seem to you like that offense is starting to come together a little bit more for Green Bay?
Dude, they had no Devontae Adams in that game.
Yeah, I know. And still did that. The running back was great.
Quite frankly, it shocked me how bad Dallas was against the run. Mm-hmm. Everything started up front. And then, you know, listen, he's incredible. So when he's out of the pocket, he's going to make plays.
Yeah.
I mean, he did it to the Eagles defense as well. He's ridiculous, right? He's just, you know, dead accurate, you know, and Mahomes is a young Rodgers. So, you know, that's something. But to me, Jones, man, ran all over. Aaron Jones was a beast.
Van Der Esch overran situations multiple times.
I was
yesterday.
Surprised. I thought the Dallas defense was better, and they just gashed them. They lost that game because of two things. One, they couldn't stop the run, and two, they for some reason Garrett didn't just go and run Elliott.
Yeah,
listen, it's great for us. But that game plan was a horrid game plan. The Eagles showed you that front can be run on. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a rocket science to go watch tape and go, you got to run on that. Now you have Elliott.
Yeah.
How in the world don't you grind the pot? And again,
week before, the Eagles did exactly that to him. He had the tape right in front of him.
Yeah, now it's Kellen Moore, who's designing. Yeah. He's the offensive coordinator. And he was being lauded. Oh, Kellen Moore, Kellen Moore, Kellen Moore. Look at Dak under Kellen Moore. Well, it's fine when you're beating up bad team. You're beating up donkeys. But against the Packers, that game plan was horrid.
Yeah.
And that's where Garrett, and he just looks like he's off in space clapping.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you try to get into a gunfight with Rodgers with Prescott?
Yeah, it seems like the stupidest way to go. And it turned out to be that.
That made no sense to me.
Yeah.
But I will take that at heart, that the Eagles were able to move Rodgers off the spot and the Cowboys weren't.
Yeah, it's a good point. Noon Hour brought to you by Goldenberg's Peanut Chews. Delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. And of course, we have a tub of Peanut Chews to give away in the Noon Hour for best callers. So good callers will put in the mix, and you'll score a tub of Peanut Chews in partnership with the Eagles, serving fans those chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. So we'll get everybody else into the mix there. Let's go to South Jersey, talk to Gary on the Fanatic. Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on?
Hey, is there any better theater than watching the Cowboys at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon? Just from the press box to the sidelines to the quarterback, and just totally come apart at the seams. I love it.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Look, if the Eagles aren't playing at four, they're playing four against a good team. It is fun to be able to root against them like that.
I needed that too, because Doug Peterson is driving me absolutely wild all year long. I'll mark the positives first. At least the offense has been very efficient in the red zone, getting touchdowns, not being stuck to field goals, taking care of the football, you know, since Sanders and his issues. So that's tightened up. But, I mean, You just marked what Dallas did, and I think Peterson does the same thing. Everyone tries to outthink themselves sometimes and be cute instead of, like, why would you give Zeke 12 carries against Green Bay?
They got down in the game, too, but Doug didn't do that.
No, Doug, I was going to say, Doug
ran it.
Doug's game plan was brilliant against Green Bay.
No, but it was horrible yesterday. Horrible. First off, that Sanders play, that was a designed run from the shot. I hate Carson Wentz in the shotgun. I can't say it enough. His hands belong under center, number one. Nothing good has come from that shotgun. And
yeah, I think
why is he not moving the pocket? Why is he not moving a pocket with a guy that's highly accurate on the move?
Yeah, you know, listen, there are times you want to do that. There are also times where you don't want to move because you're going to cut off half the field when you move the pocket like that.
Yeah,
but you know what? You have one wide receiver at this point.
Well, that's the ding-ding. That's the real issue.
He's using Goddard like Brent Celek. He needs to get him. There needs to be some creativity there. I mean, all these guys.
Hear me out for 1 second, all right? If you're playing the Jets and you're Doug Peterson, you're not going to show a lot of Goddard and Ertz at the same time because you don't want to put it on tape for Minnesota. You know that you can be relatively vanilla against the Jets because you know you got three tough games, including the Cowboys, after Minnesota. So you don't want to put a lot of that stuff on tape.
Honestly, to me, it's about execution. This offensive line yesterday.
Yeah, but
is it about execution or is it about?
You just complained about having God. I told you the reason why Goddard's not on the field as much with Ertz yesterday.
I don't agree with it. I think he should be. I think Dillard should be on there.
Okay.
And run an unbalanced
line. You don't agree with it, but again, you understand that you can't put stuff and show stuff on tape.
I don't agree with it. I think you play your best players. You're getting your quarterback killed. You're getting your quarterback killed back there,
bro. It's football, man. You gotta be
sacked one time.
There are certain things that you're not going to show on tape
against an inferior opponent.
If you're Doug Peterson, you're drawing up a game plan. You want to be vanilla as possible. You don't want to tip off what you're doing to when you have Minnesota and Dallas on the horizon. Come on. You know, you don't have to. You saw the field position you had. You can run basic offense. And you want to complain that they didn't run their basic offense? Well, all right. But come on, you can't kill Doug for you're not being creative. Part of it is when you're a play caller and an offensive designer, you want to not show as many wrinkles as possible so teams can prepare and they can see it.
You don't need the last page of the playbook yesterday. Let's go to Chris and Yardley on the Fanatic. Hey, Chrissy.
Gentlemen, how are we today?
What's up, Chris?
We lost yesterday, right? Because it sounds like we lost. I didn't know. I didn't watch a game and watch 10 sacks.
I think I got to unfriend you on Facebook, by the way.
You got to unfriend me? Why?
Were you the one that put the picture? You're doing with the kidney stones?
Yeah.
All right, but you putting that on Facebook for you peed yourself.
Dude, I peed myself. I'm the first to admit it. I'm an honest human being. You know, I got kidney stones and I whiz myself. It happens, Jason. You know, you never had a kidney stone, you never had to deal
with
it.
It's a huge loss.
He put a picture of his pants all wet because he peed himself.
I did. Because I'm just
I'll go out a little too much information today. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what it is? I had to walk from my office to my car. I was hoping if anybody who saw me was a friend with me on Facebook, they would see my pants like, oh, it's a kidney stone. So they wouldn't be like, oh, that was
you advertised it.
You bought a
spot at halftime at a Super Bowl and put it on there on the Monday, the day after a game.
Hey, you know what? I've got a lot of people who care about me today, Jason.
You know I love you, but...
I know, man.
I'm going, wow, man, that's a little too much for me.
Well, it's who I am. But listen...
It's called Party by Pampers.
I called you... that's where I call it quits. I will walk down the middle of the Delaware River and drown myself if I'm wearing diapers. But anyway, I called last week, and I said the four linemen were going to be the difference makers. Whoever was the four up front. And I said, we needed to get at that quarterback and we needed to make a bad offensive line look even worse than they were. And that's precisely what we did. I don't care what anyone says. That is a shot in the arm for a team that all you hear about is, oh, they hurry the quarterback. Oh, they hurry the quarterback. We got to a bad quarterback with a bad offensive line and we did our job. Yesterday we went 2-0. That's the problem that I'm hearing and seeing across the Delaware Valley and on Facebook. That's why I put my pee-pee pants up, okay? Trying to keep people's minds off the fact. We won the game and the Cowboys lost. I don't know about you, but that's literally like getting a steak and a hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you can't get any better than that.
Okay.
I'm not wrong. So when people are calling up and like, oh, you know what I think we should do? You know what we should do? As fans, sit and watch this game, because 2 years ago we won a Super Bowl and it was run by the man that everyone is bitching and moaning about. Leave Doug Peterson the hell alone. When he has a game where you look at the play calling and go, he screwed the bed, then I can say he screwed it. He did a terrible job. But he didn't yesterday. He managed that game. We could have been much better on offense. But the point is, just as Ann said, you're not going to show everything when you have to go against a Minnesota. You're not going to have to go and say, show your playbook to a team like Dallas. Think about who you're playing and think about what we saw. We saw our defense come to life. And I was so excited about it, I pissed myself today. That's exactly what it comes down to.
Okay. Did you bring extra drawers? Woo. We need to take a timeout. I think we need to collect ourselves after that. But you're right, Ant.
I already left.
You're right. Why would you show more than that? Like, you're not going to show your 12 personnel, and you're gonna need that 12 personnel this week.
Yeah, there are things you're
especially
not
without
show
Sean, right? I mean, no Sean. I mean, by all means, it doesn't sound like we're going to get to Sean this week. And Goddard's going to have to be a big part of that game plan.
Yep.
That's just the fact of the matter. 610-632-0975. It is like a bizarro Twilight Zone-ish kind of day. You feel like you're on the wing of the plane? Remember Twilight Zone?
I'm ready to jump.
Off the plane.
Out of this building.
610-632-0975. Do not jump before you tell the people about Primo's.
Yeah, let's talk about Primo's. That's right. There's nothing better. I always tell you about the great taste of Primo hoagies. Listen, whether you're watching the game with friends, you're heading down, tailgate, the whole thing. Score big and serve in style. Primo hoagie party trays, the sampler platters. You get the best tasting hoagies in the entire Delaware Valley. Save yourself the prep time. There's nothing better. Oh, you walk in and that smell of the hoagies wafting. The people love it. They just absolutely love it. It's great football food. You don't need utensils. whatever it is you got planned for the game, you got to do the Primo hoagie. I know it. I've been telling you about Primos for 25 years. The highest quality Thuman deli meats and cheeses, sliced fresh to order, served on Primo's award-winning seeded rolls. Baked fresh in stores every few hours. Your taste buds will be doing their touchdown dance. Stop in one of the 90 locations across the Delaware Valley. And just remember, it's not just a hoagie. It's a Primo.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Funny. This one is, the conversation can't last, right, in this teeter-totter manner.
The current form?
From the, with the fan base. Well, it's been a teeter-totter all day today.
Yeah.
One guy calls him and goes, I can't believe that last caller. You gotta be happy about the win. What's the matter? They won the game, didn't they? And the other guy goes, what's he talking about?
you're right.
The offense. I'm getting dizzy.
It's nobody agrees, and it is. It's a win in a game where the defense kind of went off, albeit against a really inferior offense. But like I said before, earlier in the show, and I just can't wait to get to this stretch of games. This is what's great. You know, it's going to be a great week and. Leading into this, and I'm really not too sure what the Vikings are for that matter. I really don't know.
So I think what they are is this. They are a team that has just great quarterback. I mean, great skill guys.
Yeah.
In Cook and in Thielen and in Diggs. They have spotty quarterback play because they will suffer for protection.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you pressure Cousins, that's when he frustrates those receivers and those skill guys.
Yeah, he kind of folds up a little bit.
So Zimmer wants to... Remember, Kevin Stefanski, who's Ed Stefanski's son, is the offensive coordinator. He took over for DeFilippo.
Yeah.
Zimmer wants to run the ball. That's why Zimmer and DeFilippo got into... they couldn't work together.
Yeah.
Because all DeFilippo wanted to do was throw. So he gets Kevin and Kevin Stefanski... And, you know, part of it is to run the ball. But they have two really good receivers.
Yeah.
And you saw from this past week that Diggs got frustrated with his usage.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult because the other thing is both he and Thielen were upset with Cousins for missing him then. So
it's a volatile situation.
They have some issues.
Yeah.
They're good and their defense is good. They have really good personnel. I just don't know how effective they are with that quarterback and that coach.
Well, what that tells me is they're a bit of a powder keg right now. If you can get up on them early in the game, they could melt down from within.
Well,
it's in their building.
It was a big win for them to go into New York and win.
Yeah.
So they won rather easily. I mean, mm-hmm. The Giants left a couple plays on the field, but you know, by and large, they won, you know, fairly sweat free. The Eagles have to get to Cousins.
So you're calling for that same game plan they used against Atlanta, very similar?
No, you might have to sell out. You might have to sell out a bit because, again, they're two really good receivers. If you give Cousins time, he can find them.
Yeah.
And again, you know, where's your help in the secondary?
Yeah, that's the thing. The
corners are a concern this week. Because they're going to have to, you have Thielen and Diggs, two really good receivers, and they can run the ball. And Cook can catch it out of the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, they got some weapons, no doubt about it. And the one thing, the Eagles have been good against the run. That's been an area of strength that's been consistent. But you wonder, are they going to be able to get Cousins off his spot? Because if you can get him off his spot and get him moving around a little bit, there's your advantage. Boy, I'd say it's incumbent to get on them early and have them start to pointing the finger at each other on the sidelines.
Well, I mean, you're gonna have to. I mean, I don't know if that's gonna happen, but
they seem volatile.
You got to force Cousins into mistakes because if he has any bit of time, he's gonna have guys to throw to.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be the big issue next week. Look, I felt like the defense again against Rodgers got some push up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, maybe they found something with these kids. They got some confidence.
Yeah.
Hall got confidence. Sweat got some confidence. You got BG in the middle. Use some of that. And listen, I know Schwartz gets it. I know I'm guilty at times, too, of giving it to him. I think he's had a really good year. I think with what he's been dealt with, he's called some good games. I give Jim Schwartz a ton of credit.
Lost one game because of him.
He may not. His system may not be a system that jives with Philadelphia and how we like to pressure the quarterback. But you can't argue with, he's blitzed more than I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
He's doing whatever he can to overcome all those injuries in that corner. I mean, again, Scandrick and
Craig James.
Right. You get a guy that played at SMU 20 years ago.
Yeah. And Scandrick was cut after the preseason, comes in this week and made a big play.
Right, he's one of my guys off the street.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's done a good job of masking the issues back there.
And he's doing the best he can. And again, not one of the games that the Eagles have lost this year has been really because of the defense. It's because they had the capes of the dropsies 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, well, both those games, yeah.
Yeah, 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. Coming up in about 3 minutes, we'll have another keyword, a chance at $1,000 in our Big Green giveaway, and also the Bring the Heat line, which I can imagine is going to be dizzying as well. Let's go to talk to Kareem in Philadelphia on the Fanatic. Hey, Kareem, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Can I just tell y'all that this is the most depressing Monday after a win I've ever this is crazy. I've been listening to you guys since about 7 o'clock this morning, and it's just been back and forth. Like, we got the win, and I understand that we didn't play good on offense. I know we need to improve. Defense showed up, but it's just like the callers, everybody is back and forth. I just feel like we got the win. I think we should move on from this. We got the win. I wish I could sleep until Sunday. I don't want to hear it no more. Not a man. I just don't want to hear it. I mean, we got the win. That's just.
So I'm curious.
Take it for what it is.
You have the win, and let me ask you, because I trust your fandom, okay, and I trust your 4 for 4 sports guy thing. How would you dissect, like, going through the week, right? You know how we dissect and look matchups and all that stuff. What would you take from yesterday?
Okay, from defense-wise, I would take it from, okay, last week we know our defense showed up against the Packers. Our defense showed up. Now, this week, our defense came out and had 10 sacks. I feel like they have a little momentum. I feel like they got a little swag. Now, they can go into Sunday with some type of swag, and they can go in there and feel like they can match up with the Vikings offense. That's where I take it from. Offense, we need to show them. But it's going to have to take Goddard to step up. Know what I mean? Sanders actually run the ball. And
what do you think of Doug saying that Jordan Howard's going to get the bulk of the carries?
He been should have had the ball. He been should
have. Yeah, I agree.
He should have been had the most carries. Sanders, he's Sanders. He's still in the learning process. So give Howard the ball. Know what I mean? He's a vet. He's been there. He done it. So just give him the ball.
Sounds good, Kareem. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.
Hey, Kareem, we're going to put you in the mix there for the peanut chews. Yeah, I mean, I was surprised Doug articulated it the way he did because it was really
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.